It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And that's just a fancy way of saying that, you know, about this time of year, these things happen. And at another time of year, something else will be happening. But the interesting thing is that there's something happening every day of the year. And if you get out there and look, you'll discover just what it is. This time of year, it's the spring ephemerals, those flowers that bloom early in the spring before the canopy closes in overhead and shadows out the flowers below. I grow a plant called Siberian squill, and the squill is one of the first flowering plants that I see in the spring. But looking at it yesterday, it was done flowering, and not only done flowering, but within a couple of weeks, the leaves will even just disappear, and it will just remain dormant until this time next year. Among the other flowers that are done flowering for the year, partially lilacs. My lilacs are on their way out. The large-flowered bellwort, the Cecil bellwort, trilliums, not the nodding trillium, but the large-flowered trillium, all of those are pretty much done, at least at my house, and now we're kind of watching for the next group. And in that group, the starflower is probably at its peak. And blue bead lily is also at its peak. Columbine is definitely blooming and moving up. Columbine was right on, actually, all these things, starflower, blue bead lily, columbine, gold thread, all of them were within a day or two of their average bloom dates. So in spite of the fact that we had one of the easiest winters ever on record, we are still falling into average. And part of that reason is that the second half of the month of March was average or a little bit below average. And the first half of March and all of the winter preceding it was above average. But a lot of those plants are now back right where you'd expect them to be. So my friend Ann Gapinski is reporting gold thread and gay wings, which is also called flowering wintergreen. This is the gay wings are an interesting little flower, magenta and very low, probably 4 or 5 inches would be tall. They have these, like I say, these bright magenta flowers, two big ears, sort of like Mickey Mouse ears, and then a long snout of magenta that is frilled at the end with little knobs of white. One of my favorite little flowers, and not an easy one to identify. I've described it. I hope I've described it in a way that you can understand. But when you go to like a book like Newcomb's, it wants you to count the petals. Well, are there two? Are there three? Are there four? It's kind of hard to tell. It's sort of like looking at a violet. It's a little bit hard to tell which are petals and which are something else, or not to be counted or counted twice. It's one of those plants that took me a long time to get straightened out. Another plant that is blooming right now that doesn't take much time at all is a plant called blue-eyed grass. And we have the mountain blue-eyed grass here in Itasca County for the most part. There is another blue-eyed grass that blooms all over the state or all over the northern part of the state, and that is needlepoint blue-eyed grass. And the difference between the two, the blue-eyed grass, by the way, it's a nice blue flower. It can range from really dark indigo all the way up to almost sky blue. And these, so they have 5 petals that are blue. And then right in the center is a dot of lemon yellow, just zoink like it catches your eye. It's like, wow, look at that. And the blue-eyed grass, the needlepoint blue-eyed grass differs from the mountain blue-eyed grass. If you look at the end of each of those five petals, on the needlepoint, the tip of the petal comes to a sharp little point, and hence the name needlepoint blue-eyed grass. The type that I ran into was mountain blue-eyed grass and is rounded on the ends of those little petals. A little white flower growing in the fields called field chickweed, white campion, that five-petaled, I'm thinking hard now because I didn't look at it that closely. I identified it, but I didn't follow through on whether it was four or five petals. White flower clustered. This is the one that has the swollen seed pod that forms right behind the flower. And that one is blooming. Cinquefoil, some species of cinquefoil, I think silvery cinquefoil, is blooming right now. Spotted touch-me-not is just emerging. And another plant that's emerging and will be in flower, oh, the spotted touch-me-not won't probably flower till the end of June, but the spreading dogbane is up now probably 18 to 24 inches, and it is leafing out, branching out, leafing out. It'll be a couple of weeks probably before the before that tut or that dogbane begins to flower. But it is, you can find the plants pretty easily. There's another plant out there called rose twisted stalk that is about to flower. Hairy Solomon seal is in flower right now. Let's see, where bunchberry, that member of the dogwood family that is like 5 inches tall, has a four-petaled white flower. That one is blooming. The mentioned the lilac was going down. High bush cranberries are starting to bloom, and choke cherries are blooming. They're kind of past their prime right now. Canada Mayflower is probably at its peak of bloom, as is water arum. Water arum is that one that you will recognize. There's a flower that you often get in floral arrangements from the florist, and it's called arum or wild arum, and it has a big white, it looks like a flower petal, but it's actually a leaf, and then in the center, that leaf, by the way, is called a spathe, and in the center of that spathe is a stalk of flowers, and that is called the spadix, and that water arum is if you're driving along and you're looking at a wet ditch, a ditch that holds water most of the year, you will see these dots of white along the edge of that ditch, and that is water arum. I mentioned that trillium is done flowering, clematis is done flowering. The pagoda dogwood in my yard began to flower yesterday. First flowers yesterday on the pagoda dogwoods. The roundleaf dogwoods in my yard have flower buds, but no flowers yet. The pagoda dogwood in the woods, I have one right in my yard that is out in full sun, and that one is flowering. The one in the woods is not even close to flowering yet. So check your dogwoods. You remember, if you want to know if it's a dogwood, take a leaf, gently rip it in half across the like perpendicular to the vein direction of the leaf. And if the two halves of the leaf hold together after you've ripped them apart, that is your test for dogwood. So if you aren't sure if it's a dogwood in your yard, pull a leaf off and try to rip it in half perpendicular to the vein direction. And if it holds together after being ripped in half, then it is in fact a dogwood. Might be round leafed, might be grays, might be pagoda, might be bunchberry. Lots of options, but you'll know at least that it belongs to the dogwood family. There's another flower out there called wild sarsaparilla that is blooming right now, and many of you, including this old geezer here, have probably heard in some of the old westerns where the guy walks into the bar and says, "Give me a sarsaparilla." Well, sarsaparilla, the original root beer, was made from a plant called Smilax ornata. The wild sarsaparilla that we have here is Aralia nudicollis. So Aralia and Smilax, they're in different genuses altogether. So when you hear of somebody saying sarsaparilla, the local sarsaparilla, the Aralia nudicollis, does not make a root beer like drink. I checked on the internet and I found several sources that said that you can dig up the root and use it in a sort of a decoction, that is, put it in some water, boil it down a little bit, and then put the resulting liquor or liquid in the fridge and cool it off, and it has a not offensive taste. I've never tried it. I may try it this year, and if I do, I will let you know what it tastes like, but it is not the sarsaparilla of root beer. By the way, Smilax, the genus Smilax, the only, well, there are several, maybe two or three, maybe possibly four different Smilax in Minnesota, but they are all members of a group called Carrion Flower, and some of them are individual plants and some of them are vining plants. But Smilax ornata, which is the plant that from which root beer used to be made, is not found in Minnesota. So don't go looking for it. Nanny berries are blooming. Black chokeberries are, the wild ones are just about to bloom. The non-native varietal that I have in my yard is fully blooming and probably on its way to not being in bloom anymore. The red maples, you're driving along this morning, you're looking at the woods and you see this tree that's got a kind of a tinge of red to it. Those are red maples, and what you're seeing are the samaras on the seeds. And those have begun to fall even. So the red maple seeds, the samaras, are turning light brown to red, and as they ripen, they will begin to fall. And I have found red maple seeds on the ground already this spring. Interestingly, those seeds can germinate this year. They'll hit the ground and they'll start growing right now. Not the case for something like sugar maple, where those leaves fall in the fall, and they have to go through a winter before they're ready to come up and grow. I was out doing all of this phenology, and in the process, I walked by the bald eagle's nest, and the juvenile bald eagle yesterday was standing on the edge of the nest and posing for me. Now, it's gotten so leafy around the tree that I had to find exactly the right spots. It's like looking for a hole in the tree, in the leaf canopy, that will reveal the nest. And I got several good pictures of him standing standing on the edge of the nest. The frog calling is changing. This past week, I think it was last Wednesday or Thursday, I heard my last chorus frogs. Those are the ones that sounded like somebody running their thumb down a comb. And they have stopped singing. I'm still hearing a few spring peepers. I'm hearing tree frogs and American toads. And probably if I were closer to the lake, I would be hearing leopard frogs. But where I am not making them out. So the chorus frogs are done singing and the wood frogs are done singing, but there's still some peepers singing, and then tree frogs, toads, and leopard frogs for sure. And I wouldn't be surprised if the green frogs don't get started real quickly. The painted turtles began to come up in my yard this last week and lay eggs. And I was telling Heidi earlier this morning that my new strategy for these eggs, because it seems that when the turtle lays the eggs that night, the raccoons or the skunks come and dig up the eggs and eat them. And so what I've done is I've set a cement block over the hole with the eggs in it. Now, I didn't set, you know how a cement block has the openings in it, the webs of cement, and then the open holes. I set it down so that the open hole was right over the top of the nest. And I will leave it there for a few weeks, and then I will pull it off. And I'm hoping that the painted turtles, by then, the smell will have dissipated, and the nest will remain hidden until the turtles can come out in the fall. So that's my plan. If you have any experience with painted turtle nests and keeping the predators away, I'd be interested in hearing from you. We're going to finish up with a quick look at some of the insects that I've run across, and there are a lot more than I've run across. Let me put it that way. I'm seeing a lot of monarch butterflies, a lot of Canada tiger swallowtail butterflies. Both of those are frequenting the lilacs, among others. I have seen the monarch sort of checking out some of the young swamp milkweed plants in our garden, but so far I haven't detected any eggs. The kids down in Duluth had found monarchs and monarch eggs on their milkweed plants. So don't know if that's just because their milkweed is growing a little faster than ours or not, but keep an eye out. If you have milkweed plants, watch them and see if you notice any herbivory, which is the act of a caterpillar eating the leaf. The primary dragonfly, there's an emerald whose species I did not get, but a dark brown gray large dragonfly with bright dark green emerald eyes is flying around. But the primary insect that I see flying around right now is the chalk-fronted corporal dragonfly. It gets its name because as it ages, it becomes prunose. And prunose is this white fuzz that forms on the body of the chalk-fronted corporal dragonfly. And there are other dragonflies that do the same thing. And it's not always white. Some of it can be light blue or green. They individual species prunose in different colors. But the chalk-fronted corporal has two white lines on the front of its thorax. So right behind the eyes, you're going to see these two bright white lines. And then on the back of its abdomen, there's going to be a strip of white as well. But right now, both the white lines in the front and that strip on the top of the abdomen are sort of khaki colored or sand colored. It's going to become white, but it hasn't yet. And finally, the fireflies are out. And as of last Thursday, I saw my first fireflies flashing, and we will talk about fireflies in the near future as they become more prominent and more of us have a chance to see them. But the toughest part for me in finding fireflies this time of year is staying up late enough. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk again next week.
It is 7:43. You can catch Phenology at our website. Find out lots of information there. Especially if you are someone working with kids this summer, you're interested in Phenology, we need contributors. this summer. We are looking for folks to help us out. There is a training coming up, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On, is it this weekend?
We had a training down in the cities.
Okay.
But we will train anyone. If you live in the area, or even if you're in the cities, if you are a camp counselor, or if you work at a camp in some fashion, we'd love to chat with you. If you're just a parent who's taking charge of your children over the summer, we would be interested in showing you how easy it is to have them look at nature and report what they see. And so it's a simple process, and the children's voices really make a huge difference on our Tuesday morning show. We love to hear from the kids, and it doesn't have to be kids. It can be adults too. Don't be shy. And we just love hearing from you.
I was looking ahead. It's not till June 15th that there's a phenology talk and walk at the Rivers and Lakes Fair. It's hosted by Long Lake Conservation Center.
Ah, okay.
9 a.m.